So Parshas Bamidbar, everybody. What we're going to do is something a little bit interesting. I'm going to go through the first bunch of psukim in the Parsha, and I'm going to explain how they're really different from one another and why those differences are there. So, for example, Pasuk Chaf is the standard Pasuk. Vayu b'nei Ruvain, b'chor Yisrael. B'nei Ruvain, the sons of Ruvain, the b'chor of Israel. Toldosam, l'mishpachosam, v'esavosam. Their generations, according to their families, by their father's house, misparshim, v'sgulgalosam, the number of their names, by their heads, kol zachor, every male, miben esrim shana v'mala, k'yotzei tzava, 20 years and old, those that went out to war. In this Pasuk, and I know you don't have a whole Chumash in front of you, but it says B'chor Yisrael by Ruvain. Obviously, it doesn't say those words by anybody else. The words B'chor Yisrael don't appear by anybody else. Number two, the words L'gul Galosam only appear twice, one by Ruvain and one by Shimon. Now, Kol Zachar as well. A third difference, in Pasuk HaBeis, Pikudav B'mispar Shemos L'gul Galosam Kol Zachar, by Shimon, it adds on the words Pikudav, their numbers, which is weird. It doesn't say that by any of the other Shvatim. By Lamed Beis, Livnei Yosef, Livnei Ephraim. When it mentions Ephraim, it goes into B'nei Yosef first, as if we didn't know who Ephraim was the child of. And number five, B'nei Naphtali Toldosam. Everybody else was Livnei, and then Livnei Ephraim, Livnei Menashe, Livnei, etc. And then the last one, B'nei Naphtali. Just as B'nei Naphtali, it doesn't say the Lamed in front of their name. So the obvious question is why? Why are there so many discrepancies? And the truth is, I should say it the opposite way. Why are there no other discrepancies? The only discrepancies are these five, and each one of the Shvatim are exactly the same. They're all the same, one after the other, and it's really strange. Why is it that way? So what's going on over here? So Reb Hirsch tells us that every Shevet was special in their own right. They deserve to be talked about in their own right. Every Shevet had their thing. So even though really this is just repetition, we're going and here's what Reuven did, here's what Shimon did, here's what Yudah, etc., and going all the way through, you don't need to say that. It's obvious. We already mentioned one. We already mentioned a second. We already mentioned a third. Once you get through one, isn't it done? The answer is every Shevet deserved to have their own mention. Because yes, Yehuda was awesome. Yeah, Yisachar was awesome. But you know, so is Dan. So is Asher, so is Naphtali, so are the Shvatim that you don't think of. They were also awesome. There was some great stuff about them, and we have to mention something about them. That's why every single person is here. But let's start with number one. Why was it called B'chor Yisrael? Did you have any doubts that he was the firstborn of Yaakov? If you've been through Sefer Bereishis, don't you realize that Reuben is the firstborn of Yaakov? Everybody knows that. So why do we have to mention that he's right over here? Is there a doubt? Is there a doubt because he lost that status? What happened here that allowed him to have the status of B'chor Yisrael if he wasn't the B'chor Yisrael up until that point? So the Das Zakenim, the Chizkuni, and the Rush, all the Baalei Tosfos, they say that Yehuda was the leader of the Degelim, of his Degel, and you would have thought Yehuda would go first. That's what you would have thought. But Reuven goes first because he's officially the B'chor. Officially, he's known as the B'chor. He goes first. So the reason why he mentions B'chor Yisrael, says these Baalei Tosfos, because you would have thought Yehuda goes first. Okay, we're going to mention them first because he's the B'chor Yisrael. Sforno says, Reuven did a crazy amount of tshuva. Remember where Reuven was when they sold Yosef HaTzadik? Once they sold Yosef HaTzadik, they didn't know where Reuven was. Reuven had gone back to do tshuva. He wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. Because he went to do tshuva, in Dine Shamayim, he never lost his Mila of B'chor Yisrael. Although down here on earth, he lost his ability to be the B'chor, and he no longer has his double portion in Eretz Yisrael, in Shamayim, he's still the B'chor Yisrael. And that's why, by all the way back in Bereishis, Tark Lamed Ches, in Lamed Hey, it mentions specifically, Reuven is the B'chor of Yisrael, and that's repeated over here. In Shamayim, he's still the B'chor because he did Tshuva. Down here, he lost it, because of what he did with Yitzui Aviv, moving around the bed of his father. But nonetheless, in Shamayim, he's still a tzaddik. In Shamayim, he's still the Bechor, and that's why he mentions it in this Parsha. He is the Bechor in God's mind. That's the reason why he's mentioned over it. It says this for now. Paneach Razov and the Rabbeinu Ephraim say that if you notice, the word Bechor Yisrael is spelled without a vav. I know not in my sheet over here, I wrote it with a vav. That was only because I was lazy. But without a vav in the Pasuk itself. The reason why it's mentioned without a vav is for this reason, the Paneach Razov and the Rabbeinu Ephraim said, because he lost something. Losing the vav means he lost something. He lost that double portion. He should have been the real Bechor, getting a double portion Eretz Yisrael, having his children be the double portion Eretz Yisrael, and he lost it completely. And thus, because of that, he loses a vav. That's the easy answer behind it. Taimid Ikra, which is Reb Chaim Knievsky, brings down in Arizal. It says, whenever you see Bechor without a vav, when you see Bechor without a vav, it's because they lost their Chelek Bechor. Nadav and Aviu never got their Chelek Bechor, Nadav obviously, never got his Bechor status because he died. So therefore, it mentions his name with the word Bechor without the Vav. Over here, obviously, Reuven loses his Bechor status, so he lost the Vav. Bnei Yisrael, the Bechors in Bnei Yisrael should have been Shevet Levi. What Shevet Levi later on had, they should have been it. The Bechors should have been that Shevet Levi. It should have been them, not Shevet Levi itself. Therefore, by them, the Bechor is written out above. And every single time, so too when Yaakov switched his hands and put his right hand in Ephraim and his left hand in Menasseh, by there as well, it says Menasseh is the Bechor of Yosef, but he's not a Bechor with the Vav. Because he loses something. Something is missing. Whenever there's something missing, that's when you go without a Vav over there. The Razan Meir asked the question. It says, how could Yaakov have done that? Is that allowed? You allowed to just say, my Bechor, this is my Bechor, but I want to take away your status. I want to take away your status as a Bechor because you did something wrong. I don't care what he did wrong, but first of all, Reuven didn't really do anything wrong. All he did was, when his mother, when Rachel passed away, take the bed out of Bilhah's room, Yaakov's bed, take it out from there, and bring it to another place, bring it to Bilhah's, to Leah's room. Why is that a bad thing? Because he's Bilbul Yitzui of it, because he moved around the bed of his father, that's why he loses Bechor status. And then aside from that, even if he did do something horribly wrong, and even if that's something the Yaakovinu said, how dare you do something, how could you have such audacity to come into my room and decide which wife I'm going to be with? Let's say that was wrong. Reuven did tshuva for the rest of his life for that. The rest of his life he's doing tshuva. And he loses Bechor status. All of his children lose their Bechor status in Eretz Yisrael because of that. Because of one issue where he did tshuva for the rest of his life, says the Razan Meir, where's the heter? And Parshki Seitz, we say you're not allowed to change around the Bechor status. You have a child who's evil, who's a Rasha. You can't take away his Bechor status. And yet all of a sudden, Yaakov Avinu does it to Reuven? How is that possible? How is that possible? So there are answers to the question. The Razan Meir, which is an Achron that wrote on the Panach Raza, wrote an amazing answer. And it's a simple answer as well. Very, very simple answer. He says, based on the Ramban, the idea is, you can't take away the double portion of Reuven himself. Reuven got the double portion from Yaakovinu. Whatever Yaakovinu left in his will, Reuven got a double portion. But this is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael deals with Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael has a different status altogether. Eretz Yisrael, that he could take away the double portion from. That he could say, you don't get that. Because that's not something that's given when he died, when Yaakovinu died. That happened much, much later on. That could be changed. That could be moved around. And therefore, he was able to take away that double portion. So now it makes a ton of sense. Who's the Bechor of Bnei Yisrael? Who got the double portion from Yaakov Avinu? Reuven did. Reuven's the Bechor. Reuven gets the double portion. Reuven's the one who's special. He's the one that gets it. And if anybody would have asked Yaakov Avinu, who's your Bechor? He would have said, Reuven. What do you mean? What's the Shiloh? Reuven is my Bechor. But when it came to Eretz Yisrael, he lost it. When it came to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have what he was supposed to have. That's the difference over here on what changed. That's what the Razan Meir says. That's number one, the first problem. Number two, Ligul Golosim. Ligul Golosim, as we said, guys, only appears by Reuven and Shimon and not by any of the other Shvatim. The Ibn Ezra says, the easiest answer, it's a Lashon Ketzara by all the other Shvatim. It wanted to say it once. It said it by one. You didn't have to say it by the others. If you had it by one, you can say it there and it doesn't have to be a brought over. That's the easy answer. The Vilna Gaon says it as well. Not the easiest to understand, but at least it's an answer and it's brought down over there. So that's something that's there. If that works, Ksav HaKabbalah says, the reason why it says Ligul Golosim here is to tell you they didn't just send in their name and number and just say like, oh, here we are, put down your name and number and then I'm gone. I'll see you later. I'm out. Ligul Golosim is mentioned over here and it's mentioned by every one of the Shvatim. It's just ignored by the others. It's mentioned by one and said by everything else. To know that every single one of the people in Klal Yisrael, 603,550 people, walked one by one by Moshe and Aaron. One by one, they walked in front of Moshe Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu sat there and asked them, who are you? What's your name? What shevet are you from? And Moshe Rabbeinu blessed them, gave them a bracha. Every single person in Klal Yisrael got that treatment. It wasn't just one person. Ligul Golosim, every person by their head went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand on top of their head and gave them a bracha. That was an awesome bracha that every single person got. And that's the point, it says here, from the Ksav HaKabbalah. That's the point of why it says in such a way, b'mispar shemos, by the number of their names. They went in, they got their bracha on their head, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them an extra bracha for who they were, they got everything they were supposed to get. That's an awesome idea that's supposed to be over here, but that's the concept that's brought down over here. On the other hand, the Shach says that the word says, the word by Reuven is specifically mentioned with the word vayiyu. The word Vayu is going on Shevet Reuven. Again, we said Legol Golosim is by Reuven and by Shimon. Vayu is saying the following. Reuven needs help to be able to survive. Reuven needs help. Maybe you think Vayu is give him a Havaya, give him an existence, allow him to exist. Says the Shach, don't think that way. Reuven is someone who is extremely special from the beginning. There's something called a Ben Temura. The Gemara Nida says, a Ben Temura is had when a father has a child not thinking about who he's being together with, or a woman is not thinking about who she's being together with. And that child is called a Ben Temura, as if there's other thoughts going on in the head that muddles the kiddush of the act that allows the child to be born in an improper fashion. That's called a Ben Temura. Reuven may have had that issue, chas v'shalom. Why? Because when Yaakov got married, who did he think he was marrying? Rachel. And he was together with that woman that night, thinking that it was Rachel. But in the end, it was Leah. So what happens then? What's going on? What are you supposed to do? That's a muddled relationship. That seems to be a Ben Temura. Reuven, who was conceived by that night, that conception was right there, should have been a Ben Temura. Says the Shach. Chas v'shalom, we wouldn't think that way. And this is what the Gemara means in Shabbos, Nunheim Abeis, Kola Omer Reuven Chata Eina Lota. If you look at Reuven and say, oh, what different? Come on, of course he sinned. He's a Ben Temura. He didn't have a full brain. He couldn't think straight. He was a Ben Temura. There was something wrong with his birth. There was something wrong with his conception. That's why he did something wrong later on. Chas v'shalom, he says. Says the Shach, you can't say something. Kola Omer Reuven Chata. Anybody who says that Reuven was born in sin and sinned, Eino Elatoa, is making a huge mistake. The idea, he says behind it, is that when Yaakov Avinu was there that night, he realized that there could be something tomfoolery going around. He realized that something could happen with Laban. So he had in mind whoever this is, and he was together. And therefore, Reuven was not Chas v'Shalom Ben Temura. He had all the Kiddusha in the world of any one of the Shvatim, if not all of the Shvatim. He was the Bechor of Yisrael. And thus, Vayu is telling us, not that Reuven should get a bracha, that it's as if he wouldn't exist without it. He's awesome. Reuven is awesome in and of itself. He has his own existence. He exists on his own. He's just that great. And that explains a little bit Legul Golosa. The word Legul Golosa obviously is related to the word Gilgal. The word Gilgal does not appear anywhere in Tanakh. It's a word that's borrowed to refer to, obviously, when a neshama comes back into this world and is brought back inside here. The idea that's brought down by Reuven over here is that everything that happened to Shevet Reuven, anything bad that happens, Reuven is going to have a chance to be able to be brought back in some sort of Gilgal. The 250 men of Reuven who joined in with Aras Korach and died would be brought back. Those who died during the Egel, they're going to be brought back. They're all given a second chance. The only one who did not need a second chance because he did tshuva after tshuva after tshuva is Reuven himself. And although this is a little bit deeper than I wanted to go for today, Targum Onkelos, in the bracha of Reuven, in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, all the way in Vizosa bracha, says by Reuven, it says, Reuven, Yechi Reuven Ba'al Yamos, may Reuven live and not die. Says Targum Onkelos, Reuven, Musa Tinyana Al Samos, he shouldn't die a second death. And Chazal understand that as being, Reuven will never have a second Gilgal. He'll never need a Gilgal. Although there may be necessary for his children, for those that sin later on, Reuven never sinned. Reuven did tshuva for anything he might have done wrong, and he brought himself back, and he's good, and that's by Yiyu. There's a Yiyu. The name of Havaya is within Reuven. The Vav Yud He is there by Reuven to show how special he really was. Yes, Dave?
I thought we learned tshuva from Yehuda and like David and Allah.
There's two aspects to tshuva, and you're right, that Yehuda, who caused Reuven to do tshuva? Yehuda, because Yehuda admitted that he had done something wrong with Tamar, and immediately Reuven said, I should also do tshuva. The pshat is Yehuda is the first to publicly admit his wrongdoing, while Reuven was the first to do tshuva privately to show everybody what it means, that you don't have to say everything. Sometimes you're mefarit, your chait, sometimes you say out loud, I did something wrong. You're trying to save a life, like Tamar's life, so you say out loud, I did something wrong, save that girl. And then there's Reuven, who never have to be Mefarad Yisrael, because that would be embarrassing. I moved the beds of Yaakovinu, so I said, that's embarrassing to Yaakov. Then you're not Mefarad Yisrael, you don't do anything at all. His tshuva was a private tshuva. That private tshuva, where you don't go out loud telling everybody what you did wrong, that's a different issue. That we learned from Reuven himself. He was the epitome of a Baal tshuva. I think I even have a gematria for him. I forgot what the numbers is. If anybody has a chumash on them, I think it's 46,500. I think that's the number. Is it, it might be 46,500 or 46,600 by Reuven. I remember there's something to do with the word tshuva. Tshuva altogether is obviously, it's a lot. It's 713, I think. Somehow the word 46,500 equals 713. I don't remember how it equaled up to it, and there's something there, but there's a connection between them. Because again, he's the epitome of what the Baal tshuva is supposed to be like. The Igra Dekala, based on this, says, this is the B'nai Yisachar, Reuven will be the Bechor again. If you're in Shevet Reuven, you have a chance to serve in the Beis HaMikdash again. You know how Chazal say, there's like a Maimer Chazal, that the Bechors are going to come back, lost at level, that when Mashiach comes, the Bechor is going to serve again, going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean every Bechor. It's the Bechors of Reuven who will have the ability to do tshuva again and bring themselves back and work. Even though they sinned with the Egel Azov, even though they lost their Bechor status, they're going to come back. And therefore, the Torah is right. Bechor Yisrael. He is the Bechor of Yisrael. Right now, he's not. Right now, we don't see it. But says the Igra Dekala, he will come back. And that also is the Vayu, that in the future, he will be our leader. Shevet Reuven will be the ones to lead us ahead. An amazing, amazing Igra Dekala. Okay, that's that. Datsa Kenim Rosh and the Rabbeinu Bechaya all say the Reuven and Shimon were given tremendous mussar by Yaakovinu in his bracha. It was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Remember, Reuven, he said, Reuven, you were my Bechor, you were impetuous, how could you have done this? Shimon and Levi, you're so violent, how could you have done this? And then Yehuda, Yehuda, Yoducha, Hecha, everybody loves you, etc. But Reuven and Shimon and Levi were really screamed at. They needed more of a kapara, they say, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, and these Rishonim say. Because they were pained, they pained their father more than everybody else. Reuven, as we know, moved the beds. Shimon threw Yosef a tzaddik in the pit. And Shimon and Levi destroyed the city of Shechem. They gave pain to their father like nobody else. So because they did that, they need a kapara. That kapara is the word legul galosam. Legul galosam is based on the word bekel al gulgulas, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Rosh Hadassah Kanim. And therefore, they got a kapara. That kapara was that they would get something extra to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaTurim says this is not in our Torah. We do not see this in our Sefer Torah. I don't know if maybe there's a person who knows how to write a Sefer Torah in this way. But the Baal HaTurim says the two lamids of legul galosam by Shimon are both messed up. Legul galosam. Okay, so there's two lamids, gul, gol, not the first lamid, but gul, gol. Those two lamids are totally messed up. What's messed up about them? So we said the first one hangs down a bit. You ever see, like in the Torah, sometimes the lamid is, I'll do it your way, like this, and it goes up, right? And sometimes in a chumash, you'll see, like if it has to fit the line above it, you'll see sometimes it goes like that. You know what I'm talking about? It goes like that, just like to the side, almost like a snake, like a twirling snake. So in the Torah, there's one place where the lamed appears that way, where it's squiggling down, where it goes like that, and then it goes down like that. And it's here. The first lamed in Gul Galosam looks that way. And the reason why is because the Nasi, the one who's on top, the Nasi who should have brought them further up, messed up. Zimri, who is Shlumi of Bensuri Shadoi, who's Shaul ben Akananis, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, he's the one who should have brought them up, should have brought them straight to Shemayim. Instead, he brought them down by doing what he did with Kuzbi. By doing that sin with Kuzbi, he brought down all of Shevet Shimon. It's the first Lamed looks up and then goes down right afterward. That's the Lamed. The Lamed is messed up. The second one shows what Zimri did that was so bad. His haughtiness. He thinks he's greater than everybody else. The second one looks a little bit weird. It's squiggly when it goes up. It goes up, but it doesn't go straight up. It goes a little bit like that. He had this haughtiness where he thought he was greater than everybody else, and therefore, he was so mistaken he lost out on everything for Shevet Shimon. Shevet Shimon, after that point, never had a Nasi. No Melech comes from Malchus Yisrael, never had a Shofet among the Shoftim. Among all the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, Shimon is the one that's lost. He's got nothing. Even Dun has Shimshon. Naphtali has, everybody has somebody, but not, Naphtali was who? Barak, Barak and Devorah. Everybody had somebody, but not Shevet Shimon. There was nothing there, says the Paras Yosef. It's because of this. because he needed more of a kapara and he never worked on himself and didn't get enough out there. Not like Reuven. Reuven did tshuva. Reuven worked on himself. So his legul galosim is he's given a gilgul. He's given something good. By Shimon, legul galosim is it's not good for him. Something happened. Something messed up. And unfortunately, he's never going to be the same again. The Igret HaKala says, b'derech efshar. Maybe the bracha of Yaakovinu was so effective that no one from any other shevet required a full gilgul. Nobody from any other shevet would need something like that. They'd have soda ibber. They'd somewhat come back, but they wouldn't need to fully come back. We don't believe in full reincarnation of the Hindus, where all of a sudden it's like we come back entirely. There's something that needs to be done, so the neshama joins, or some part of the neshama joins, etc. Except there may have been part of Shevet Shimon that needs something different. Because they never got the bracha of Yaakov, they needed something different. Says the Igret HaKala, legul galosim by Reuven is that they won't need a gilgul because their tshuva works for them. And if they do need it, they'll get it. Something will happen for them. But even then, it's not a full gilgul. It's only somewhat. By Shimon, they need a full gilgul. They need something that's totally different, something strange that's going to bring them back, that's going to bring them back entirely as they are. Shevet Shimon is going to need a lot more than everybody else out there. Okay, that's our second thing. The second thing that's wrong. Kol Yetzei Tzavah, there's an amazing Orach Chaim HaKadosh and Aksav HaKabbalah that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that every single person that was counted here was able to go out to war. Now, I don't mean to say it this way, but if you count every Jew right now between the ages of 20 and 60, right? Let's say you counted every Jew in the world, 20 to 60. Of course, you're going to find many people who do not have the ability to go out to war. I don't mean they're weak. That could be gotten over. Everybody could get over that, right? You might be weak, but you can still do it, I'll bet. Yeah, you could do it, right? Yeah, maybe with somebody helping you from behind. That's fine, right? But normally, the only guy here who's been in Tzahal, I think. Am I right? Yeah, that's right. But either way, but that's one thing, right? To be able to go through. For everybody else, do you know how many people you would count that wouldn't be able to make the army? And it's probably, I don't know if the numbers are something like this, 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 20, 1 out of 10 Jews, 1 out of 20 Jews wouldn't be able to make it between the ages of 20 and 60. I think that would be a pretty good number. 20 and 60, remember. 20 and 60. You're talking about a 55-year-old man. Says the Pusik, and this is what the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, there was a huge miracle here. Every single person from the age to 20 to 60 was able to go to war. And not only that, they were warriors, every single person. A guy who's 59 years old comes up there and walks in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every 59-year-old, not just some 59-year-olds, every single 59-year-old walks in front of Moshe. Moshe said, that guy can go to war. That guy would be able to go to war. This is 3,500 years ago. There's no drugs, there's no steroids out there. And yet every 59-year-old is able to go to war. That doesn't make any sense. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the biggest miracle ever. The Ksav HaKabbalah says it's not like that. They only counted the people who were able to go to war. They didn't count the people who weren't able to go to war. So there may have been more than 603,550 people, but these are the only people who went to war. But that already is a machlokas between them. All right, what about Pikudov? You already got the basic idea of Pikudov. It appears by Shimon, while it doesn't say it by anybody else. Moshev Zakenim says, again, it's a hint. They're going to be missing people. The word pakod means to miss out on. There's going to be people missing from Shevet Shimon. Because there's going to be people missing, in the end, they're going to lose 37,100 people. 37,100 people are going to be missing from the second year of the Midbar till the 40th year of the Midbar. 37,000 in 39 years. Everybody else gained in 37, can you imagine, 39 years? Just in China alone, 39 years from now, if the numbers keep going up, they're expected to almost double their population. From 1.5 billion to almost like 2.6 billion. In 39 years, they're expecting to do that. Because the amount of people just exponentially grows, right? And Shevet Shimon lost 37,000 people. It's like the history of the Jewish people. No matter what happens, we're always hovering around the number 12 million. It's just hovering. We're around there. It goes around there. Right? We're not gaining. We're losing, unfortunately, now because of intermarriage. But it's strangest thing in the world how Klal Yisrael works. And Shevet Shimon lost that money. The word Pikudov, says the Igret HaKala, Pikudov is the gematria of 200. Pei, Kuf, Vav, Yud, Dalet is 200. It's the same gematria as Lamed, Zion, Aleph, Umea. Lamed, Zion, Aleph, Umea. They lost 37,100. It's off by one. You have the kol. But you have that. It's amazing that it ends up going over here. Says the Yalkut Reuveni, Pakod means to be missing. You lost so many. That loss was because of Zimri, and not only because of that. Shevet Shimon also intermarried. Who they intermarry with? The Erev Rav. The reason why they lost so many people was not just because they died in the desert, because the numbers should still grow. Even if you had people dying in the desert, you still have so many people who are kids. What happened to all the kids? The answer is, they married the Erev Rav. And when you marry into Erev Rav, the child is going to go after the Erev Rav male. So many of their women, many of the daughters, ended up marrying into the Erev Rav and left Klal Yisrael. That's what happened to Shevet Shimon. They lost tremendous numbers from that. Says Yaakov Reveni, that's what Pekudav. And just like Dina married Shechem and had kids that unfortunately were going to be different because they followed Shechem, Shaul ben Akananis, which was Zimri. So too, you had many people in Shevet Shimon that were lost completely from Klal Yisrael. They no longer have them for this very reason. They got lost, and that's the Pekudav. Pekudav means they were lost out of this completely. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says, Pekod doesn't only mean to be missing. It also means to sin. So he says the following. Shimon himself had Pekida Savon. There were things that Shimon had done wrong, and not only Shimon, but other people as well, that because of that, they lost people because of it, the sins that they had done. And says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, it's the craziest. The numbers for Shevet Shimon, 59,300. 59,300. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, 59 is the gematria of Nun and Tes. 300 is the gematria of Sin. Sin, Tes, Nun is the Satan. Their numbers hint to the fact that they were connected to the Satan like no other Shevet was. Not Ruvain, not Gad, not Dan, not Naphtali, nobody else. Shevet Shimon had a connection and had to break that connection. That was their what they had to do their entire lives, but it was scary how connected they were to the Sultan himself. Yeah.
I thought they were the first ones in
it. Not Shevet Shimon. Nachshon ben Aminadav and Shevet Binyamin. They were the ones that jumped in. Shevet Shimon, unfortunately, never seen a role of leadership. We don't see them that way. Except for Shittim, except for Zimri. It seems the fact that he didn't get a bracha from Yaakovinu and never fully did tshuva for what he did with Yosef somehow affected him in the future. That's not mine, that's from the other Rishonim, but that's the idea.
Why didn't Yaakov give him that bracha?
It must be that Shevet Shimon was always meant to be a challenge. He was always meant to challenge himself and try to do one thing after the other, and sometimes it worked, and unfortunately sometimes it did not. Right, that was the idea of what it was supposed to be. That's the idea. The Malei Omer goes through this. The Malbim says something crazy. It's really the craziest thing in the world. All right, we got Libnei Yosef in front of Libnei Ephraim. I'm sort of going to skip this one because this is an interesting one, but it's all dealing with different Rishonim. The Ramban, there's a tour, Moshe Zakeni Paneach Raz, Rabbeinu Ephraim, and Balaturim. But we're not going to mention that for right now. Skip down. Yalku Ruveni points out that the word Shemos, B'mispar Shemos, appears by every single Shevet, Reuven through Naphtali. B'mispar Shemos, they're counted by name. The word Shemos is spelled without a vav, every single time except for four of the Shvatim. Which four Shvatim had a vav? The four Shvatim that had a vav were Shimon, of course Shimon, right? Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. Reuven, Gad, Shimon, and Menashe. Those are the ones that end up having an extra vav. So why those four? So if you look at those four, you'll notice something very quickly. What's the connection between Reuven, Gad, and Menashe? What's the quick connection that you can make right there? Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. You have this? Come on, I believe in you guys. Where did Reuven, Gad, and Menashe live?
On the other side of the river.
They're the other side of the Jordan River. So already you got something. Reuven, Gad, and Menashe are on the other side. But then why Shevet Shimon? Why is Shimon together with them? So I get it. The extra vav would be obvious. The extra vav is because they're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though the Kedusha was extended, but they're living outside of actual Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they need a little bit of more Kedusha. That makes sense, right? It makes sense to be able to say they had to add on Kedusha over there. But what happened with Shimon? Where did Shimon live? Where were Shimon's cities? Where did Shimon get land? So we know from Navi, we know from Yoshua, Shimon never got an actual piece of land. Shimon had cities that were interspersed within Yehuda's chelek. What happened? Shimon had a chelek of land, but Yehuda went to Shimon and said, come help me capture these cities. Shimon went with them, captured some of the cities of Yehuda, and Yehuda said, look, this land is huge, why don't you just join us here? And Shevet Shimon joined Shevet Yehuda and went inside. It's one of the reasons why, by the way, it's totally a misnomer when they say the 10 lost tribes. Why is it a misnomer when it goes to the 10 lost tribes? Because Shevet Shimon was all throughout Shevet Yehuda. So they couldn't have been a lost tribe. They were there in Shevet Yehuda. Many of them, I would assume, had married into Shevet Yehuda at some point. There probably were many people in Shevet Shimon that were with Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shevet Levi. It's not even the 10 lost tribes, because you can't count Levi. Levi was definitely with Yehuda as well, because we have Levium and Kohanim here. Anybody a Levi? You guys are Levium, right? We have Levium here. So obviously, Shevet Levi is not lost either. It's a misnomer, because Shevet Shimon is around. But Yaakov Avinu gave him in his bracha, I'll divide them among Yaakov. I'm going to scatter them throughout Bnei Israel. You know what that means? Shevet Shimon was never in one place. Although they had cities within Yehuda, they started traveling. And they went up and they went east. Shevet Shimon joined Yehuda, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe outside of Eretz Yisrael. There were four Shvatim that were outside of Eretz Yisrael. Chatzi Shevet Menashe, Reuven, Gad, and Shevet Shimon. Of course, Levi also was there. There were Levium outside as well, because there were Arei Miklat. There were cities of refuge. But Shevet Levi is not mentioned in the count, so we don't have to worry about that. But that's why they got an extra Vav. Because they were there, but they weren't there. They were also part of it, Shevet Shimon, but they weren't exactly part of it. They were in those cities that were outside over there, and all four of them are like that. Rav Chaim Knievsky says, it's strange. We say the words in our Shema every single day. Leman yirbu yameichem bimei venechem. So that we have length of days, Alo Adama, on Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan even had a Shaila. Do you guys remember this from the Gemara? Rabbi Yochanan had a Shaila. How in the world can there be old people in Bavel? That's what he asked. How can there be old people in Bavel? Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Laman yirbu yameichem bimevenechem, Alo Adama ksiv. Says you can only be length of days, you can only have length of days and be old in Eretz Yisrael. How in the world could you be old outside of Eretz Yisrael? That was a Shaila that he asked. And they answered him that they spent time in Batei Medrash, and he said, oh, Batei Medrash are like Eretz Yisrael. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan had a Shaila. Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, himself, is a question how long he lived. He may have been extremely old. Everybody knows the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Bava Kamma. He had these eyelashes, these eyelids that were massive, that they had to lift them up with pokers in order for him to see. Rabbi Yochanan was a very, very old man. How old did he live? Seder Doros brings down two opinions. He was either 258 years old when he died, or 400. That's not the two that you thought, right? Felt like 60. Rabbi Yochanan lived an extremely long time. They have Shilas because Rabbi Yochanan is mentioned all over the place and he's the Talmud of like 7,000 different people. Who is he the real Talmud of? Obviously Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but it's also mentioned among the Tanaim. So some say it's two Rabbi Yochanans. Is Rabbi Yochanan a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan that's an Amora. Others say, no, it's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan lived for an inordinate amount of time. He was born somewhere in the year 150, 140, something like that. And he lived till about the year 300, 320, 330. And if he was 258 years old, he'd even live more than that. It's crazy. It's literally crazy how old Rabbi Yochanan was. And he asked that kash over there. That's what the Talmud HaKrah says. And then Igret HaKala says such a huge chiddush. He mamish went crazy on this parsha, the Igret HaKala, all over the place. The gezeira that everyone between the ages of 20 and 60 would have to die only applied to people going to Eretz Yisrael. Do you hear this? If you had a gzeira on you, you were supposed to die from the ages of 20 to 60. If you weren't planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, you didn't die. Doesn't that explain something about Reuven, Gad, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe? You know, there's a Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that says that if you count it up, in the last year of the Midbar, on Tisha B'Av, everybody went down to their mass graves. They figured they were 60 years old that year. They were going to die, because everybody between the ages of 20 and 60 were going to die. So they went down to their mass grave, and then they got up, right? Yudav, they got up. So they realized, oh my gosh, we must have miscounted. They went down again, they went down again, they went down again. Finally, they looked up, and they saw the full moon, and they said, we're not going to die. And the last 15,000 people in Klal Yisrael that were from the age of 20 to 60 from the Raglim never died. They never died. And they made that day a holiday. We call it Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, because in the 15th of Av, they realized they weren't going to die. That it wasn't Tisha B'Av anymore and they weren't going to die. Those people, says the Igret HaKala, were these people. They were the people from Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe that decided they wanted to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. As soon as they decided they were going to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, then you're not dying. You don't have to die. Because there was only on people going to Eretz Yisrael. But you guys decided you're going to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you never died. Says the Igret HaKala, that's what ended up happening over here. It's an unreal pshat that happens over here. That the gzeira was only for them and not from everybody else. And maybe that's why the vav is there for Mispar Shemos. These guys are the only guys who are going to live in the end. Because everybody else here between the ages of 20 and 60 are going to die. They're not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. They're all going to die. Every single person here because of the Meraglim. Yes, Yoshua lives, Kalev lives. But these people from Shimon, Gad, Reuven, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, whoever is going to stay outside, somehow they lived. And thus the Vav is put by them. Because they had a little bit of extra Kedusha, so they were able to live a little bit longer. Crazy, right? It's unbelievable. Yeah. Why didn't he?
Yeah, if he
was over the age of 60. He wasn't in the Gzera in the first place, but he had a different issue of Mei Meriva.
I'm saying, if he didn't go with Eretz Yisrael, why does he have to die?
That was his argument in Parshas Vayeschanan. That was exactly what he argued. He argued, yeah, as he said, what do I have to die for? I won't go in Eretz Yisrael, or I'll stay out here, let me end up doing this, or let me go in as the Talmud. He had 515 arguments to be able to go through, 515 different ways to be able to get himself inside. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that's nice, no. Right? And that's fine, right? That was the answer. At the end of the day, that was it. I don't have time to go through the last part. This is an amazing part as well. Pasuk Mem Beis. Again, it says, B'nei Naphtali. By everyone else, it says, Livnei. Time out. That's not exactly true. Look in the very first part of your sheet. Look at what it says by Reuven. Vayu B'nei Reuven, B'chor Yisrael. Did not say Livnei Reuven. It says Livnei by all the other Shvatim, but it doesn't do so by Reuven, and it doesn't do so by Naphtali. So there is an opinion that says right there, you know why? To tell you that the first and the last, they're all equal. That's a good shot, right? That they're all equal to each other. Whether you're first or last, you're still equal to one another, and that's the idea behind it. But to be honest with you, I still don't like that so much, because why not just write B'nei by every single one of the Shvatim? Then I'd say, they're all equal. That would be another vort. I don't get why that would be any different. But let's say that that's true. Why does it say Livnei all the way up until Naphtali? So there's answers. Balatur and Rabbeinu Bechaya, Rabbeinu Ephraim, Paneach Raza, Moshe Zakenu say, Naphtali had more daughters than sons. He had very few sons, but he had a ton of daughters. Ton of daughters. It makes sense, right? At the end of the day, it looks like there were less people from Shevet Naphtali than there were before. And Shevet Naphtali did grow, but it seems like he had something. He says, the word Isha is even hinted to within the bracha. Ayeles Shlucha Hanosein. Ayeles Shlucha Hanosein is Rosh Hativis Isha. Not only that, the word Ayeles is a feminine word. Ayola is in the female deer. Not an Ayol, but an Ayola, which means it's described specifically as a female because he had so many girls. So it's possible that that's the reason why he's known as B'nai Naphtali. It's different. He didn't have that many boys. There were a few B'nai Naphtali, a few sons of Naphtali that were out there. But I will tell you, there's a Psikta Zutrasi that literally says the exact opposite. Shevet Naphtali had way more boys than girls. Way more boys than girls. So that's why it says B'nai Naphtali, because there were way more boys. So I don't know what this machlok is. This is, and I told you, I said all the Rishonim over there. It was Paneach Raza, Moshe Zakenu, Balaturim, Rabbeinu Bechaya, and the Rabbeinu Ephraim. And yet you have a Psikta Zutrasi and a Medrash Gadol that says the exact opposite. Literally the exact opposite. I don't know what the argument is. I have absolutely no idea. I'll end with this. There's a Gra that says something really good. You can see I have an Oznaim Latorah, Ksava Kabbalah Ganrav, and Rav Hirsch. There's an Itziv. Well, the Netziv is what we're going to do. There's a Malbim in the Panim Yafos. There's a Chsam Sofer in Torah Moshe, the Tamidas from Sternbach and Tosefes Bracha. But here, the Netziv quotes the Arizal. It says an unbelievable shot. Remember we said originally that every person walked in front of Moshe Rabbeinu to get a Bracha and that he blessed them as they went by? The Arizal says there was no separation between the different Shvatim and they had to count them. So instead, as they walk by, instead of going one, two, or like what everybody does, not one, not two, not three. She doesn't work at all, right? To be able to say one after the other, instead of counting them by person, instead every single person as they walked by and got their bracha left a piece of paper that had their name, their dad's name, their grandfather's name, their sefer yichus, along with their shevet, and they brought it in front of Moshe and they put it in a pile. Okay, it had everything there. Everybody put down their paper. They put down their paper, put down their paper, put down their paper, and everybody had it in a pile over there. Moshe Rabbeinu called 12 Nisim and said, guys, pick out the sheets of paper that have your Shevet's name on it. So all the Shvatim did that. All right, this one's for Reuven, this one's for Shimon, this one's for Yehudah, this one's for Levi, and well, not Levi, and this one's for Yisachar, this one's for etc. The only Shevet that didn't, whose Nasi didn't do anything was Naphtali. Naphtali waited. Naphtali sat back and relaxed. In the end, what was left in the pile? Naphtali's. So each one was for that Shevet, but not Naphtali. Naphtali is just B'nai Naphtali. The pile of B'nai Naphtali was right there, and they're the only ones that didn't do it. That's what the Netziv quotes from the Arizal himself, and that's the pshat why it doesn't say Livnei. What's the problem with that? Reuven. Why didn't it say Lamed by Reuven? I have no idea how the Netziv gets around that question. I have no clue. If that's the pshat, and that's why it says livnei by everyone. And you should know, in the Arizal, it says in the Arizal's words that the Netziv quotes, and it's quoted in other places as well, it says, and they picked out the pieces, and they said, livnei Reuven, livnei Shimon. But it doesn't say livnei Reuven in the pasuk. I have no idea how to answer the Arizal. No clue. Absolutely no idea. But the Netziv quotes it. So obviously there's something to it, and I just don't get it. But it seems like such an obvious kasha. Okay, we'll leave it with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.